Hello, this is Bahati Mutisia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Rookie Magazine. Our last episode, we didn't get to finish the article about the promposal, so I will wrap that one up starting with today's episode. We left off where Tim had a discussion with his brothers about about their promposal ideas and ideas for asking the girl that he wants to ask to prom, although he knows that she does not want to go to prom. And so he goes to school the next day. Awakened, Tim approached the morning of April 15th with zero outrageous antics planned. No goldfish, no flash mobs, no diapers. He decided he would tell Violet she was right about prom being a beacon of capitalist greed and heteronormativity. Then, presumably he thought, she would be so impressed with his change of heart that she would take him into her arms and they would make out with the ferocity of lovers who know that any moment they could be torn apart by the sound of the first period bell. As he entered the school, Tim noticed a pair of girls wearing matching t-shirts that said, "No." Below, a row of lockers, covered in giant sheets of neon construction paper that spelled out, "No, no, no," a group of girls sat cutting into a grocery store sheet cake with "No" piped out in frosting and pasting and passing out slices on paper plates. Suddenly, everywhere Tim looked, girls were wearing the shirts. Even at 8 in the morning, these girls had somehow maneuvered to bring in pizzas that spelled out, "No" in toppings, and not just pepperoni, but olives spelling out "no," and pineapple tidbits spelling out "no." Confetti shaped and tiny N's and O's fell onto Tim's shoulder, and he turned to find even more girls triumphantly shouting, "No, no, no." Then he saw their target, a boy dressed as a zombie holding a handwritten sign that read, "Sarah, I'm dying to go to prom with you." "What's going on?" Tim asked him. The boy desperately grabbed Tim by the shoulder. "Whatever you've got planned," he choked between breaths. "They don't want it. They don't want to go to prom." A look of horror, exaggerated by the finest, most pallid zombie makeup Hot Topic had to offer, fell upon his face, and he retreated to the boys' bathroom, attempting to avoid another bombardment of confetti. Just then, Tim noticed Violet across the hallway. She looked dazzling, with "No" spelled out in stick-on rhinestones across her neck and carefully scribed in eyeliner across each eyelid. Each time she blinked, it was as if her face was a sign flashing, "No, no." "Violet," he called. She glanced at him for a second, then rolled her eyes. "Violet," Tim persisted. "Violet, I just want to tell you, you're right." "Right about what?" "About prom being a sham." "Okay, thanks." Tim looked at her expectantly. "So," he pondered, "do you want to hang out instead of going to prom?" "I can't, sorry." "Well, why not?" "I'm just, like, really busy with things right now. It's probably going to take me a while to get all this eye makeup off, so..." Yeah, totally, I understand. It's cool." Tim didn't understand at all. He had an inkling that maybe it didn't really take girls weeks to remove eyeliner. But who knows? Girls are mysterious creatures, Tim thought. One year, they're completely dazzled by the idea of being elaborately asked to prom, and the next, they're all convinced it's a conspiracy between Big Sequin and the government. Girls say one thing and mean another. Tim watched as dozens of them swarmed the hallway and shouted, "No!" Okay, that concludes that article. Our next one, given that this episode is dated December 24th, close to Christmas time or Christmas Day. The next article is titled Blue Christmas, which may be appropriate for some of us for this particular year. This is for those for whom this isn't the most wonderful time of the year. And this is by Rachel Prokop. This was published December 7th, 2011. It's the holiday season, and you must be happy. Cheerful music is on all the radio stations, and the television will only show movies about reindeer and elves and wacky gifts hijinks. Your neighbors' houses are all lit up, and everyone is having a party, and you're invited. But what if you're just not feeling it? What if you want to retreat into a cave, skip the gifts and parties, and hibernate until spring? First things first. You feel sad because you are normal. It is normal to feel sad, even in December. Even that guy who covers his entire front lawn with inflatable Santas gets cranky when he goes to the mall and ends up fighting crowds and waiting in a line 30 deep at the register as Jingle Bells is repeatedly pumped into his ears. But some of us are more than just annoyed with the holiday hype. If you're like me, you just start irrationally hating everything when winter rolls around. Or, technically, it starts in the fall, when you start waking up in the dark thinking, am I going to quit school and life and just lie in bed every day playing Angry Birds? No, I hate those stupid pigs and their stupid faces. I just going to sleep for the rest of my life. What I have is called seasonal depression. Technically, seasonal affective disorder, with the super appropriate acronym SAD. And it's caused by, among other things, the shorter days this time of year. If you already have depression, like me, it might get worse this time of year. And depression is a sneaky thing. You feel like whatever is bugging you is totally logical, and you don't even realize that, oh hey, it's winter. Maybe my parents and teachers haven't actually turned into demons. It's just my confused brain cells. A lot of people don't think that the term depression applies to them because they associate the label with dramatic things like cutting or suicide. But most cases of depression are more subtle. You might feel overwhelmed by normal stress. Your self-esteem might take a huge dive. You might not have the energy for schoolwork. You may even have physical symptoms like stomach pains or headaches. I had nausea so bad that I had to skip breakfast for 8 years or so. But once you recognize that your emotions aren't quite in line with the world around you, you have the opportunity to do something about it. Without getting all winter tips to beat the blues on you, here is what has helped me. Number one, relax, relax, relax. I'm not going to say, just cheer up already, because that's the worst thing to say to a depressed person. If depression were a choice, no one would have it. Depressed people have to make an extra effort to be happy and relaxed, but that effort is worth it. I took up meditation to fight my anxiety. Exercise will help clear your mind too, and regular exercise is an actually proven treatment for depression. There's also this thing called progressive muscle relaxation that will change your life if you have trouble with sleeping, muscle tenseness, or anxiety. Seriously, try it. Schedule moments when you're not allowed to worry. Easier said than done, but if you can turn your anxiety off for a few minutes, you'll at least have those minutes of freedom. As I said earlier, I meditate. So I usually go into a meditative state and think of nothing for my scheduled non-worrying time. But you might find it easier to listen to some music or read a book to give you something other than your own thoughts to concentrate on. And don't feel guilty about having fun. Your brain might tell you that you don't deserve it, but your brain is a liar. Everyone needs fun, especially those of us who don't turn into cheerful and automatons, especially for those of us who don't turn into cheerful automatons at the first notes of Jingle Bell Rock. Number two, know your limits. On the other hand, it's okay not to have fun too. If you're at the end of your rope freaking out over that big paper due right before the break and finding time to buy gifts and suddenly you've been offered the lead of the school play, you don't have to accept. It's okay to turn things down occasionally if they sound like they're going to be more stress than fun. I have anxiety along with my depression, and I get overwhelmed at parties. My family loves to party, and I love my family, but sometimes all the noise and people get to me, and I have to be alone. I find a quiet room and take some deep breaths before heading back into the den. I don't go to clubs or parties where I know there will be a lot of loud music and loud people because I know I won't have fun. Know your limits. And go ahead and turn an invitation down or take a break if you're feeling overwhelmed. Number 3, don't be afraid to ask for help. This can be difficult, especially if you don't feel like you have supportive adults around you. Finding even one friend you can talk to helps. But if you're comfortable asking for professional help, do it. It's a big, scary step, but it's so worth it. I finally went to my college counseling center after weeks of an unrelenting headache and a total inability to get my work done. I told them I needed study help. The counselor knew right away that my study skills weren't the problem. I was given medication and therapy, and not exaggerating when I say that within days of starting meds, I was a new person. I had energy to do my schoolwork, my lifelong nausea actually cleared up, and I could talk to people without worrying that opening my mouth might ruin everything. For the first time in my life, I could live without crippling doubt and fear. But if you need to talk or you don't want to go through your parents, there are other options. Do a Google search of your local mental health hotlines. Make an appointment with your school guidance counselor. Maybe even talk to a relative or friend's parents if you feel more comfortable with them. Or even just vent to your friends and listen to them if they say you need help. Sometimes we can't see how bad things have gotten in our own heads. Finally, you have to accept that you may never feel as happy and well-adjusted as most of the people around you. First, stop comparing yourself to them, because for all you know, they're putting on an act to cover up their own issues. Second, know that it's okay not to be happy all the time. Your goal should be to find the middle ground between creepy forced cheerfulness and being miserable. Do what you can. And since it's December, enjoy the good parts of the holiday season. The presents, the food, whatever it is that you can actually stand. My favorite part? Winter solstice, which is on December 22nd this year. Once the solstice is over, the days start getting longer, and my sad starts losing its mojo. Best gift of the season right there. Okay. The next article is titled, Pleased to Meet Me, At the Diner with My Past Selves. This is by Pixie Casey, and this was published on April 17th, back in 2015. It's 10:53 on a Saturday night, and I'm sitting by myself in a corner booth at the Olympia Diner, working on my second cup of hot chocolate and drawing spirals on the paper placemat. There is a mini jukebox attached to the wall, and it doesn't look like the songs have been changed in maybe 30 years. I flip through the selections and notice that there are a lot of Alabama songs. Alabama seems to be the biggest band on the rarely updated diner wall mini circuit. I finally find something I want. Bobby Vinton's Blue on Blue, because I'm feeling sorry for myself, and if I'm going to sulk in a diner at night, I'm going to do it properly, thank you very much. I don't know how the fight started. Sometimes Wyatt and I go back and forth from fine to fight in a matter of seconds. We pick each other apart over tiny things, because the bigger the thing, the fact that maybe we aren't going to be together much longer, and we can feel it coming but aren't sure how to stop it, is too much to handle. It's almost as if we're too close, too connected. I'm starting to think the fights we have are our own dumb way of pulling apart. Like, we're trying to find a legitimate reason to go beyond, I need to go down this path right now, and you can't come with me. Wyatt and I have been inseparable for the past 8 months. But right now, he's at the party, and I'm here. And that's the way it's gonna go sometimes. Oh, the waitress hasn't checked on me in a while, and I want her to. Not only because I want more hot cocoa, but because I want to be checked on by someone. I want her to call me hun and ask me if I'm all right. And I want to say, yes, I'm fine, thank you. Like I really mean it. Like I'm not all broken up and feeling like I want to crawl out of my own skin. I want to be taken care of for like 1 second. That's it. And then I can go back to being tough as nails. Gel manicure, not a scratch on me for 2 weeks or more. I stir whipped cream into my cocoa, thinking of how things escalate. How 1 second life is one way, and then suddenly you're in like a totally different universe. And you have no idea how to navigate through it. I take out my phone and write a note to myself. It is exhausting to try to justify the beauty of one world by allowing yourself to be constantly thrown into the chaos of another. That's deep, a voice snorts. I look up from my phone and notice that a girl with exceptionally heavy black eyeliner is sitting across from me, building a house out of jelly packets. She smirks at me, and I recognize her as my 13-year-old self. I'm 17 now, and I'm taken aback by the difference between us.